Zephyra did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across West Midlands as you listen. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, qualified people who want to train as nurses cannot access the courses that would put them on hospital wards crying out for staff. The training infrastructure sits idle while Treasury spending limits are cited as immutable law.
I decided I wanted to be a nurse when I was 15, watching my mum drag herself through the front door every morning after cleaning offices all night. Her back was always aching, her hands cracked from the chemicals, but she'd still make me breakfast before collapsing into bed. I thought about the nurses at Birmingham Children's Hospital, where I volunteered on weekends, how they made frightened kids feel safe, how they spotted the small changes that meant everything. That was the work I wanted to do. I got top marks in health and social care at South Birmingham College. The staff at the Children's Hospital said I was a natural with the young patients. When I applied for the nursing degree at Birmingham City University in 2019, I thought it was just a matter of paperwork. I had the grades, the experience, the determination. What I didn't have was a place on the course. The admissions officer explained it to me carefully. 400 qualified applicants for 180 funded places. It's not about your ability, she said. Health Education England has capped the training budget again. We simply don't have the funding to take everyone who meets the standard. That phrase, "we simply don't have the funding," sounded reasonable at the time. Disappointing, but reasonable. I took a job as a healthcare assistant at Birmingham Heartlands Hospital. For 2 years, I watched qualified nurses leave for better pay in Australia or Canada while the wards stayed understaffed. The ward manager, Sarah, was pulling 12-hour shifts trying to cover the gaps. "We're desperate for nurses," she told me one afternoon as we were changing beds, "but there's no funding for training places. It's the same story across the West Midlands." I reapplied to Birmingham City University in 2021. Same response. Same phrase about funding. I tried University of Worcester, Coventry University, even looked at Staffordshire. Each admissions team gave me identical explanations about Treasury spending limits, about tough choices, about making the budget stretch. The excuses were so consistent they sounded rehearsed. Then in 2023, I was walking past the old Birmingham City University nursing block on Westbourne Road, and something didn't look right. The building was half empty. I could see through the windows rows of computer terminals with dust sheets over them, simulation rooms with the equipment still there but the doors locked. I asked the security guard what was going on. "Budget cuts, love," he said. "They've got the space and the equipment but not the money for lecturers." Shame, really. All this kit just sitting here while people like you can't get trained. That same week, I was talking to my neighbour, Amara, outside our flats. She'd been a nurse in Lagos for 5 years before moving to Birmingham, but she was working in a warehouse in Erdington because she couldn't get onto the conversion course that would let her work in the NHS. "They keep telling me there is no funding," she said, "but I see the adverts every day. Nurses urgently needed. How can there be no money to train the people who want to do the work that needs doing?" Standing there looking at that locked nursing block, talking to Amara about her warehouse shifts, something clicked. The people existed. Me, Amara, hundreds of others with the grades and the motivation. The buildings existed, that whole block sitting empty. The equipment existed, those simulation rooms gathering dust. The need existed, Sarah pulling 12-hour shifts because the ward was short-staffed. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The UK government issues the pound. It prints the notes and mints the coins. When it says it cannot find enough pounds to connect qualified people to nursing courses, what it really means is that someone decided not to spend those pounds. HM Treasury treated nurse training like a household expense to be rationed, not like the means by which trained professionals reach the wards that need them. I started paying attention to how this excuse worked. Every time someone cited the budget cap, they spoke as though pounds were a finite resource that had to be found somewhere else first, as though the government that creates the currency was somehow constrained by the amount of currency it had created. It's the same logic as a household saying, we cannot afford it, except households don't issue their own money. The real constraint was never the money. It was whether the people existed. They did. Whether the skills could be taught. They could. Whether the training facilities were available, they were. Sitting empty on Westbourne Road. Whether the NHS needed more nurses, it did, desperately. The government chose not to spend the pounds that would connect all these pieces together, then presented that choice as though it had been forced by arithmetic. I hear those phrases differently now. There is no funding means we decided not to fund it. The budget has been cut means someone cut the budget. We cannot afford to run that program means we chose not to run that program. The government that issues the currency told me it could not afford enough of that currency to train the people who were standing right there, ready to learn. 3 years later, I'm still a healthcare assistant, still watching qualified nurses leave while the wards stay short-staffed. But I understand something I didn't understand when I first applied. The block was never about money. It was about the willingness to spend money into the places and people who needed it. Every empty training place, every locked simulation room, every warehouse worker who should be on a hospital ward, these aren't the inevitable result of tight budgets. They're the direct result of political choices made by people who had alternatives. What happened to me wasn't bad luck. It wasn't even bureaucratic incompetence. It was the logical outcome of treating public investment like a household expense, as though the government that creates pounds could somehow run out of them. And it's happening to people like me in every constituency where needs and resources exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare.
What Zafira experienced has a name: fake experts. Like tobacco companies citing scientists who questioned the link between smoking and cancer, or pharmaceutical firms highlighting the tiny minority of researchers who disputed vaccine safety. This technique involves elevating voices who support your preferred narrative while ignoring the overwhelming evidence against it. In Zafira's case, every institution cited economists who treated government budgets like household budgets, as though this false analogy was settled science. A government that issues its own currency is nothing like a household that must earn or borrow that currency first. Comparing them is like comparing a goldfish bowl to the ocean, because both contain water. The scale, the dynamics, the constraints are entirely different. Yet every time Zafira was told there is no funding, the officials spoke as though repeating this household analogy made it true. They elevated the minority of economists who treat fiscal limits as real constraints while ignoring the growing consensus that the binding constraint for a currency issuer is real resources. People, skills, materials, time, not the currency itself. The austerity objection was always the same. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Citing unnamed authorities is not economics. It's propaganda. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Birmingham Yardley ranks 8. 8 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 from MHCLG, placing it in deprivation decile. 1. The constituency has 2,357 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received were £52.1 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.